Hello, and welcome to Up the Smut Podcast. Thanks for being patient. I was ill last week, so we skipped an episode. But this week, I am bringing you an amazing exclusive interview with audiobook narrator Connor Crace. And I'm sure you have heard his audio going around on Instagram. It is incredibly popular. I have heard it a number of times. And once I heard it, and I heard everybody loves his books, I was like, I gotta get him on the podcast. So welcome, Connor.
Thank you for having me.
And I was speaking to Connor right before this, and I was like, oh my God, it literally just sounds like I'm listening to an audiobook when he speaks. And it turns out that's just his voice. It's not a show he puts on.
Well, sometimes. It depends on the character. I'm not walking around the house being like, I don't know. Are you sure? My wife would be like, what? Speak up.
So. Oh my God. I didn't even think about just how your wife must feel living with you on a regular basis. My husband would drive me absolutely crazy if he had that voice, and he would do that. He'd come up behind me and just be like, hey baby, do you want me to do the dishes tonight? And I'd be like, yeah, actually
my wife's so funny. I mean, she's tickled by it. She's absolutely tickled by my career and this whole thing. She's not a big romance fan. Even though, and I call this, I could be playing a video game or watching any movie that's not romance related. And I call it, if a boy or a girl is about to get together, then she stops what she's doing and she'll watch. So even if it's in a video game, she'll be like, what are those two doing? So I don't really understand why she's not into romance, but.
So she doesn't like listen to your work or.
I mean, she does when I like present something to her, but she's not. Yeah, she's not into it. So
I was wondering about that because, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, if you live with it every day, maybe you don't necessarily want to then be listening to it. Oh, I don't know. I guess I could listen to some voicemails my husband left me on a regular basis, but they wouldn't be as sexy probably as the books you're narrating.
Yeah. I would say living with it, it's not like it's romance 24/7. We have three kids, so
yeah.
It's mostly not that.
Well, so Connor has narrated books by a lot of people. How many books do you know offhand? I tried to count them on your website, but there are a lot.
I hit over 200 a little while ago. So,
wow.
Yeah.
What's the time span on those 200?
I think that's over 3 years.
Okay, that's actually a shorter amount of time than I guess I don't. How long does it take to record? I mean, I know how long it takes then to, you know, listen to it. But how long does it take to actually record the book?
So, I mean, it depends on the narrator, on the book. So there's prep time where you read the book and you make notes and you make decisions. I guess you could count email and setup as far as with your co-narrator. I mean, in romance, mostly you're narrating with someone else of the opposite sex, although sometimes same sex. And then you make notes on characters because there's two different kinds of recording. There's dual, which is when I do my chapters and she does her chapters. And then we have to coordinate on characters. And then there's duet. And that is where I do all the male characters and she does all the female characters. So you honestly don't have to agree as much on that. But that's more about having energy in the scene. I forget what good ratios are. Some people are close to 1-to-1. Meaning that, so most narrators get paid per finished hour of a book. So however many hours you recorded at the end is what you get paid. And some narrators are like 1.1-to-1. So they take an hour and 10 minutes for an hour of recording. I wish I was that fast, but I'm not. I'm actually pretty slow still. So.
Wow. Okay.
I'd say it's probably 2-to-1. It probably takes me 2 hours for every 1 hour of recording.
So which do you prefer, duet or dual? Is one more difficult than the other? I kind of feel like, you know, recording, I guess what's the process for each of those? Do you listen to, if it's duet where you're switching off chapters, you know, or however that works, do you listen to the female narrator's chapter and then record yours so you get the vibe right and like match it or?
Sometimes, I mean, often we're fortunate enough to work with authors like the scene tells you, you know, where because if we did it that way, I mean, sometimes you're fortunate enough to do a live recording, But most of the time, people's schedules can't match that up, where you can record a whole book with somebody else and their life. But, you know, if you have a scene in a book, I mean, pick any of your favorite books, the scene tells you, the author tells you. Like, if I do my work, the character is upset, or he's in love, or he's angry, or he's frustrated, or he's lost. If you play that and your fellow narrator is playing her scene, where she's putting up a wall, or she's lost, or she's confused, or she's given in and she's in love, or whatever the case may be, if you play the scene, if you play your half of the scene, that usually matches up pretty well, in my experience. Mm. And then, I mean, as to your original question, duel versus duet, it's nice not having to do the female voices. I get by, and I think they're fine, but it's not like, you know, I don't think anybody's listening to me for my female voice. But also, the challenge there is to make sure that you have, when you're doing duel, you're reading the chapter, you're in the story. So when stuff comes up, you're there emotionally and physically. I mean, you're just in the scene. Whereas when you're taking pieces of dialogue, especially if it's a female chapter, I just have to make sure that I'm at that place energetically and emotionally to, like, be in that scene. You know, I've read chapters where I have, I don't know, 10 lines, and they're like, you know, do you love me kind of thing, you know, do you love, you know, and if you're just coming into that cold, like, you just have to make sure that you're there, like, he's at the height of his passion, so I need to be there for that scene.
How do you, like, get yourself in, you know, going from being a dad and then going to work and getting into, like, this, like, passionate, how do you, like, not turn yourself on, but, like, you know what I'm saying, like, how do you turn it on and get to that point? Like, do you just hype yourself up really quick? Do you read a couple of lines? And
I mean, I've been doing it for so long now. As I told you when we were talking before, I was an actor for years, theatrical, and I've done a little TV, and I have an MFA in acting, so I have a lot of actor training to rely on. So I don't, honestly don't even think about it anymore. I know when I'm not doing it. I know, like, that was flat and I'll do it again. But as far as, like, thinking about gearing up into it, I just don't need to do that anymore. It just kind of, if I know the scene, if I know the character, if I know what's supposed to happen, I know when I'm not doing it, and then making it happen is not that hard. I just, you know, I honestly don't think about it anymore.
That's great that you don't think about it. I feel like I would think about it way too much all the time, but that's my personality.
Well, it's also reps. I mean, you don't do it, you know, I've been doing, you know, romance for 3 years and over 200 books. And then, I acted for 10 years before that, you know, and I would do, you know, in theater shows, you're in front of a live audience and you gotta, like, you know, and that has the advantage of having the energy coming at you. Like, that's a unique challenge for audiobooks. It's all you. There's no director, and, like, rarely do you get to interact with your co-star, as far as, like, performing with them, especially, I mean, if it's dual, you don't at all. And it's just you in a soundproof booth, making it up, as far as, like, you know, there's no director. When I did theater or TV, there would be a director being like, finesse this moment, or a little bit more of this, or a little less of that. So you could rely on another person. And that's a positive and negative. It's like, I get to do what I want to do, but I also know that I'm serving the author's story. So I don't want to go too far and make a choice where it's like, that's completely off, you know, out of the realm of what the story is trying to do. Mm.
I am curious. So one of the things I think would be the most difficult, and it's not doing the opposite sex's voice, but I think that is very difficult. But I'm curious how, when you are reading a chapter and say they're like at a party and there's like dialogue going on between multiple people, how do you keep, is there a lot of like pausing between the dialogues? How do you keep all the different voices that you've given these different characters straight?
Well, I mean, that's part of prep, is your, you know, a lot of people, and sometimes they'll do this, highlight in different colors so that you see the color and you associate it with that other character. But yeah, I mean, sometimes you pause or sometimes you'll make a mistake and you'll go back. But for me, to keep the character straight, there's kind of like one quality I have in my head. Like a lot of times I've had a lot of books where there's like the funny best friend who's like the party guy. And that guy's usually a little higher and he's just relaxed and he's back here, you know, as opposed to the hero. And it depends on the hero, I suppose. Sometimes he gets his own book. And so then I get to be here for most of the book. And then his friends get to be, you know, in a different place, you know. So
that's interesting. Does it ever lock you in where you're like, all of a sudden you're now being hired for that guy's voice and you're like, oh, I kind of wish I hadn't done his voice
well,
that way?
You know, earlier on, I would make choices and I learned and I was like, oh, right, of course, they get their own books often. So I better not go too crazy with the friend or, you know. And, yeah. And sometimes it's difficult because I'll keep it, this book unnamed, but like if there's 15 sexy military guys, it's like the range that I get to do, like, so they all have to be sexy. So nobody can be like, hey guys, I'm not even sure. Like, you know, no guy's walking in with a high voice. So it's like, I got to keep them all low, but somehow distinct. But as far as, I cheated a little bit. I try to keep the quality of the main character in mind, but I always shift him a little bit more to my voice, rather than trying to be a slave to the choice I made as a side character, which I think is true in the writing as well. I don't know if you know this, but I also co-write
yes.
with Kaylee Loring. And we talked about that as far as like, and I've talked about this with other authors as well, where you have a side character and they serve a function in the story as a side character. And then when they get their own book, they get fleshed out in a different way. And it doesn't mean you betray what they are as a side character, but they get more flavors than they got in the other book because the main hero got all, or the heroine got all those flavors. But now it's their book, so they get, you know, a little bit more depth, a little bit higher, you know, higher notes, lower notes. They get all the notes in a way that they didn't when it wasn't their story. And I feel the same way when I'm narrating it, where it's like they get my full range. They get all my emotions and the side characters now have, you know, I try to keep the voices distinct. So because their job is to tell this person's story.
Yes. Well, if it makes you feel any better, when I'm reading a book with 15 military guys, they all have my voice. So in my head, it's just like there's nothing different about them. It's just all like I know when some people read, they get they put themselves, they're like a self-insert and they mm-hmm. put themselves in the story. I'm a voyeur. I stay on the outside of the story and I just like,
well,
watch.
Can I ask you about that?
Yeah.
Cause when I started, I think I had like a theory of like what romance, I mean, the person who got me involved with it is a fellow narrator. Her name's Ava Lucas and she was a fan turned narrator, and now she's just recently narrated over 200 books.
Have you ever narrated with her?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh
yeah,
that's
bunch
awesome.
Of times. Yeah, and she, what was I saying? I lost my train of thought.
Self-insert.
So when I started this, I had this theory. I was like, oh, it's wish fulfillment, and I was like, the heroine in these books is an avatar for the reader. And I was like, and then as I've gone along, I'm like, I don't think that's true. I was like, the heroine in the books is like, you wanted her to be your best friend kind of, or a friend of yours and like root for her. Is that right? Is that closer to what you're
yeah.
talking about?
Yeah. So for me, and I know it really differs. Like when I'm on Reddit, you'll get people who are talking about how they become the heroine. And perhaps that's why a lot of people prefer first person because they
right.
become the heroine. And then some people prefer to, like, there's a lot of women who only, read MM because they don't want to be in the story at all.
Right.
Especially that happens a lot with women who are just kind of sick of reading books that focus on women's insecurities or issues like stemming from being a woman. And so they're just like, I don't want women in my stories at all.
Right.
And then with me, it's just, I just like to be on the outside looking in. Yeah. I kind of think of the characters as just, it's kind of like watching a movie for me. I don't, I don't insert myself into a movie either. And so it never occurred to me.
Right.
And I never realized that other people were doing that. Mm. It just, I was like, oh, you are the heroine when you're reading. That just, it never, that's why I tell people all the time, like, when they're like, oh, women are just horny and wanting to read these books. And it's like, not like a lot of women are just, it's like, I don't watch a horror movie and like want to kill. And I'm not reading a romance novel and necessarily wanting to have sex with either of the characters in the book. It's just not, that's not how I personally function. And so there's definitely a spectrum of romance reader where you're like all the way from, I am the people who like to read second person point of view, which those people are a wonderful group because that is very difficult. I read a book in second point of view and I was like, it was very jarring. And then you have people who are like, I am nowhere near this book. Like, I do not want to be in there. A lot of like asexual people read, and they're like me. They just like to read from the outside looking in because they don't experience sexual attraction and they don't. So it's more like, oh, this is like kind of fun because I don't experience these feelings. But I am curious if that answered your question. I want to learn more about how you got then into writing romance and like at what point in your process you were like, you know, I would like to try my hand at this.
Well, so pre-romance, I have an unpublished novel completely unrelated to romance. I've always wanted to write, and that's something I've dabbled with for years. And then I get involved with romance, and I started narrating more and more and more and more. And Kaylee Lauren came by, and she had me narrate Bossy Christmas, which was her big hit a couple years ago. And I remember reading that. I remember, so I would get, you know, I mean, at this point I was reading at least, or narrating a romance book a week, at that point, once, you know, at certain points, once I got going. And
I
so,
guess, yeah, you'd have to be because you did 3 years and over 200 books. Holy shit.
Yeah. 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 So, but, and then, Bossy Christmas came along and I was like, oh, this is different. And I had had about 3/4 of my own romance novel that I was just kind of writing and getting and experimenting with. It was very much, I might publish it. I don't know. I haven't decided. The guy who wrote that didn't know nearly as much as the guy speaking to you now. So I don't know if I can salvage it. But when I read Bossy Christmas, I was like, oh, this is a lot like how I would write or how I did write. It was funny. It was fresh. I really enjoyed that story and I really enjoyed narrating it. And Kaylee and I would send emails back and forth. And they were just fun. We would just, I don't know, give each other a hard time. And then eventually she sent me an email being like, you know, I didn't think I wanted to do this, but do you want to write together? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we have co-published 3 books and our 4th one is coming out in March. So yeah, and it has been, you know, we actually had a powwow a couple weeks ago about like, okay, let's, because it was like a year, like just a whirlwind where we just started writing together and it went really, really well, which doesn't mean there weren't learning curves and like things that we needed, like, oh, okay, we need to articulate this and that, because she had not written with anyone else as far as novels go. And like, she pushed me to be a professional like right away, you know, because she's a professional, which was both terrifying but also very, very helpful, because I was like, okay, there's no experimenting, there's no like, maybe I'll publish, it's like, you're going to publish this, so get it right. And yeah, it's been really, really cool and really, really rewarding. And I've learned a ton from her, and hopefully vice versa. She's been happy with the stuff that we produced. And yeah, so that's kind of how, like, it's weird because I talked about this in my group a little bit, where the romance stuff kind of came through serendipity, where Ava just happened to hear something I did and was like, I think you'd be good at this. And then Kaylee really liked my emails. She thought they were clever. And she's like, do you want to write together? I was like, with a successful writer? Yeah, that sounds good. I guess I'll do that. And it doesn't mean I wasn't prepared for it. You know, had I not got the MFA and acted for 10 years, I wouldn't have been ready for any of these things. Had I not written my own novel and worked on it, I wouldn't have been ready for Kaylee. So, I had done the work beforehand, but there is a ton of luck in how I ended up doing this.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a really kind of, like you said, like you've put in the work, but in a nice way, you kind of like, you know, fell into something you're really, really good at as well. Which, did you start audiobook narrating around the start of COVID then?
No, I had, I've done voiceover for, I guess over 15 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. I just hadn't done romance. I didn't really know anything about it. And, I got a crash course, and now it's pretty much all I do. I was like, oh, I like this. This is okay. This is where I want to put my energy.
So if somebody is listening, I have a lot of authors who listen, what is the process of getting an audiobook narrator? Like if somebody wanted to hire you, what does that process look like? Is it reaching out to you? Is there more professional means? Do people, I know some authors interview authors, but how does it work for you? Is it more people coming to you?
It depends. Most of the time now I am contacted by production houses. And oftentimes those are started by narrators like Andy Arndt has Lyric. She's a huge audiobook narrator and she does a lot of audiobooks. There's Brick House Audio. There's a whole bunch of great production companies that I work with. And they ask my availability. I mean, thankfully now, like, people know my stuff. So if they want to work with me and our schedules work, then we make it happen. But I'm also contacted by authors directly. Mariana Zapata contacted me about when Gracie Met the Grump. And she just contacted me directly. So I just talked with her and we figured it out.
I didn't know she was one of the authors you had on your... Because again, I tried scrolling through, but they were like,
"Well,
pages
that's not
on
out
Amazon."
Yet.
So that's coming out.
Yes, that's coming out.
I've never read a Mariana Zapata book, so
okay.
I'm very because slow burns are my torture.
I mean, it's in the name, I suppose.
Yeah, but yeah. I know everyone always recommends her stuff. So if I was gonna start with anything, maybe I would start by listening to it.
Yeah, so that one is duet. So like 97% of the book will be the female narrator, and then I'm like the 3% where it's just the dialogue because it's all from her perspective.
So when it's something like that, how much then is it like kind of weird then when you do you ever listen to your own work afterwards, like listen to the whole book in completion, or do you really just listen to the clips as you're recording them and approving them?
Yeah, I don't go back often. And it, you know,
it sounds like you don't have a lot of time.
Well,
to be
time is one thing.
And
then it's tough for me to listen to my own stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just like, why? What were you thinking? You know, which obviously is not the case. Most people seem to like what I do. And I try really hard, but it's just sometimes hard going back because you're like, I would totally do that.
Well, I know tons of authors who refuse to go back and reread their work once it's published. They're like,
really?
No, like I'm done. They're like, the minute I go back and reread, I will find like 15 errors and like lose all my confidence in terms of like going forward. So
sure.
Which I understand. Like, I'm like, I get it. I can't even listen to my own podcast. Michaela, when we do our podcast together, she will listen to it and let me know how I did.
Sure.
But I'm like,
well,
I will not go back.
Thankfully,
and
I mean, particularly for our books, I mean, I will listen to those, you know, because I'm part of quality control when I'm the co-author. But Kaylee is also a huge audio fan. So she, thankfully, is a huge, is my Michaela in that version of catching problems or giving the go ahead.
So you narrate your own books then as well?
Yes.
The ones you've written. Is that different from reading someone else's words? Because you can't, or do you, are you able to separate yourself from it and just kind of pretend like it's something someone else wrote?
It is different. Mostly in a good way, though, because as an actor, you have to make choices. I taught acting when I was in grad school, and I think that's the thing people misunderstand about acting. Like, it is about accessing emotion and all that, but really what an actor does is they take dialogue and they make choices based upon the character they're playing, on how a person would say those things. You know, you can say hello a million different ways. You know, if the backstory is like they haven't seen each other in 10 years, it's hello. And, you know, if they saw each other last night, be like, hello. You know, it's like, and you just put that into every word, and that's your performance. I mean, that's how I think about it. So when I write it, and actually I've developed this process now, before it goes to the copy editor, I actually try and record my sections that I wrote. Because nothing is better than speaking out loud to be like, no, that doesn't work, or that doesn't make sense, or like that. That sentence is unwieldy. And also I have the advantage of, you know, the choices I make, I know I'm not betraying the author because I am the author. Whereas sometimes some authors will leave detailed notes, but most don't. So I am hopefully serving their story, but there's always a little piece of me, you know, a little bit of doubt being like, I hope I'm doing what they thought that, you know, but also like, The highest compliment I've gotten from authors, and I've had this a few times, where they message me and they're like, "I was worried about it, but you're perfect. You know, it's exactly what I had in my head," and that always means a lot to me, because I also know what it's like to hear words, and it's like, sort of not. That wasn't what I was thinking, you know. So when I narrate my own stuff, there's none of that. Doubt.
Yeah, I was wondering if it's, as an author, then hearing it back, it would be definitely awkward to go back to the narrator and be like, do they ever come back and say, like, could you re-record this part? It's not exactly, or do they, maybe in the beginning and not now that you're really seasoned, but, or is it just kind of like not really done? Like, you just
No, it happens. It's rare, but it happens. Little sections, usually nothing too big.
I'd be like, no, this is, I pictured him completely different here. Like, it raining down on him, him screaming, and you like did it like really softly or something. And I'd be like, I couldn't have somebody narrate my work. I couldn't have somebody read my work. Nobody ever has, except my grandpa. When I was 15, he asked if he could read what I was writing, and I let him, and I've regretted it every day since.
Really?
Should not have let him. It was 15-year-old me was writing, like, the worst, most juvenile romance, where, like, they just fought every single chapter, because I just love when people fight and then grovel. Yeah. And so, as a 15-year-old, I was like, I'm only going to write fights and grovels. There will be no dialogue anywhere. Like, it would just be like, they fought, they kissed, made up, and now they're fighting again. It was just, it was brilliant. I mean, how I'm not a published author, I will never know.
I look forward to narrating your debut novel.
If I could find my work from way back then, I told people I would put it online and like let them see. That way people would stop asking me why I don't write. I'd be like, here's why I don't write. I have so many half-written, not even half-written, like some of them are just like one-sentence ideas in like Word documents. And it's just like, I am so admiring of people who can actually sit and like have the discipline to write start to finish, and who can, I don't know, make that sort of commitment to putting themselves on the page, because it's very difficult. It's not as simple as just like, I have thoughts in my head and I want to put them out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, there's a whole lot of steps. There's editing. You have to edit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I don't want to edit. I am curious what the, we'll wrap up a little bit because, you know, you are very, very busy recording multiple audiobooks a week. What is the most challenging part? And maybe we've already touched on it, but what would you say is the most challenging part of being an audiobook narrator? And what is the best part or the best thing that's ever happened, I guess, even if you don't have a best part?
Okay, so the first part of the equation, the toughest, I think it's endemic to the industry in general, is work-life balance. And like added into the narrator side is vocal health. Like, you know, we were both just sick. I literally cannot do my job when I'm sick. It's not about, well, just tough it out or like just, you know, take some cold medicine and get to the office and figure it out. My voice does not work. And so then I don't want to get other people behind, but I there's nothing I can do. So it took me a while to figure out how many books I could take on, given my life and the matrix of that, because I'm very fortunate. I am booked a lot. You know, it's funny. I remember talking to my wife. I was listening to a podcast with another narrator, and he was talking about how far out he was booked. And I was like, man, how do people do that? And she reminds me, she's like, it was like 3 months later, you were like booked 6 months out. And it was great, but it took, you know, I have to say no to work now, which as an actor, it's like, it's just not a thing you get used to. It's not, you know, like as an actor, you're lucky for every job you get. And it's tough to be like, I just don't have time for that. I just can't do it. But I think I have a good handle on now of what I'm can comfortably, capably do. But I know it's true of romance authors as well. Like burnout is real. Like there's just, you know, it never stops. It's you know, it's a really fun industry, but it takes a lot. It takes a lot of you. And I think any creative endeavor where you can do as much as we are able to do, we'll just take that from you, and you just have to be careful.
Yeah, I didn't, and you know, I knew about the sick thing, so I was like, obviously, like my voice does not sound normal right now, yet, and obviously, like continuity, it's a big thing in the book. So if you started recording like half of it, you'd have to wait until your voice was like fully healed,
in order
to continue, because otherwise, halfway through the book, your voice is just going to be like 2 octaves lower or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't even think about that. When it comes to turning down work, is it kind of just like, you know, the project's great, I just don't have time for it? Or have you ever gotten information on a book and you just don't feel like it's the right fit for you?
So most of the time, 99% of the time, it's, you know, if the schedule works out, and if it doesn't, I'm just like, I'm sorry, I just don't, you know. And I'll tell them, I'm like, this is my first availability. And sometimes the author will be like, we'll wait. And so I add it to the schedule and great. And then other times it's like, they need to release it. That's way too far out. There are things that I don't take on. It's never from a place of judgment. I'm glad people enjoy what they enjoy. It's just like, I'm fortunate enough to like, why don't I just do the stuff that I enjoy? And then other people can do other stuff.
Honestly, so I feel like if you're enjoying it, it's going to come through.
Well, that,
even
that's
though,
just
even
it.
Though you're a professional, I feel like there's going to be, you're going to be able to, I mean, you can tell when an author is writing something that they don't necessarily throw their weight behind. Like when they're just trying to maybe fit what's really popular right now. And you can tell if it's not a topic they're passionate about. And I feel like maybe that would be able to come through in an audiobook narrator as well.
Absolutely.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. There are things that I choose not to do. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to do that.
I'm curious, and I know we talked about how your wife is not really a romance reader and doesn't necessarily listen to your stuff unless you ask her to. Does anyone else in your life, is this kind of something that people know you do? Or, you know, a lot of romance authors do it on the DL and they're like, they don't tell their friends and family that they write romance. Is it common knowledge among your peers and your family? Or
it's kind of in this gray area, and something I've actually talked to my wife about like, is this going to be a secret or just like a thing we just don't talk about? But it's like, because I have some merchandise, and one of them is my profile picture on a pillow. So it's like my muscle picture on a pillow. That's like on my bed. It's actually, no joke, the best reading pillow I've had. It supports my head perfectly. My own torso picture pillow supports my head while I read Kindle.
You're your own biggest fan.
I'm supporting myself. It's self support. It's healthy. But I was like, we're probably going to want to put that pillow away at some point, right? Like, I looked at her, I was like, you know, for the kids' sake. And it's like, am I going to yell at them at some point where they're like, Dad, it's disgusting. And I'm like, that paid for college. That paid for your car. Like, I don't know. So I don't know.
I love that.
Yeah, we're going to have to make some decisions soon.
So what do you, I mean, you don't have to, in case anyone's listening who knows you and you don't want them to know, what do you tell people that you do? Are you like a stay-at-home dad? Other books, but you just don't mention the romance books?
No, I mean, I've been doing voiceover for a while and people
know
that.
So they just think you're doing that.
Yeah, they don't really, you know. Every now and again, like, my friends know. Because I've started writing too, like, they know, but they also don't care, you know.
Whenever people don't want to, like, let it, I am an out and proud romance reader. All my family knows, my husband's family knows, they follow me, and it's like, fine. But I never begrudge anybody for, you know, I don't think it necessarily comes from a place of shame for not wanting, but there's a piece of you in these things, you know. There's, when authors are writing, they're putting a very personal piece of them on the page. And I don't think anybody, like, is owed that. So if people don't want to tell other people that they write romance or that they, like, narrate romance, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We don't all have to share the nuances of our job with the world.
I think it really just comes down to my kids. And knowing, like, I have a brother. So the only thing I know is that my parents had sex twice, and that's all I want to know, and I don't want to know any more than that. And my kids, unfortunately, there is a whole bunch of audio out there of their father pretending. And it's just like, do I shield them from that, or can I even in the age of the internet? So I don't know.
It doesn't hurt to try as long as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even if they don't care, you never know who might care and use it as ammunition in some way, shape, or form.
Well, here's the other side of that. If it's a secret, it's a thing that we've held and kept that comes out. Where if it's just a thing that we say that we don't really talk about, like, yeah, your father has romance, don't worry about it, you know, then it's a thing. It's like, if it's on you, if you go looking for stuff, don't do it. But it's like, we just say that and then we move on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
At least you're still rather young now. You have some time.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time.
Yeah, you're running out, but you still have a little bit of time to make that decision, at least.
Yeah.
One last question. Has anyone ever recognized you from your voice? Because I know I have authors who, like I said, do not tell people, and they want to be on my podcast, but they're afraid that somebody would recognize their voice from their personal life. You put your voice out there every day,
mm-hmm.
200 books.
Yeah.
Are you ever afraid someone's going to recognize your voice and pin you down and be like, hey, did I just hear you on a romance novel podcast?
It hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure it will at some point. I'm making my first live appearance at Wild and Windy in the City in Chicago.
Oh, hey, that's where I live.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah. I've never been to a signing like that before, so
I lived in Chicago for several years, and that's where I got married, and that's where my daughter was born, was in Chicago. Oh. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that on your bio, it said you live in the Midwest, and I was like, I wonder where, but I won't ask where you live now, but that's really fun, because I know there's a lot of amazing authors coming to
I ask neighborhood that you're in? Is that too much information?
Well, so I grew up in LaGrange.
Uh-huh.
Which is a southwest suburb, western suburb.
Yeah.
And then now my husband and I live in Westmont.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's a pretty big area. I stick close. My mother lives here. My dad too. They live together. I don't know why I said my mom lives here. My brothers live 5 minutes away in either direction.
That was a hilarious way. He is a roommate. My mom. They're married, actually.
Yeah, married for how old am I? 31. You get to. I feel like after 30, I was just like, I forgot how old I am in any given time. I always like have to think. So yeah, they've been married a nice 30, 32, 33 years, somewhere in there. They lived together that whole time. But yeah, my husband's family lives around here too. He grew up a couple suburbs away from me. So it's just, I like living around here. We lived in the city for a while. Now we live in the burbs, and because we had our son and I wanted to be closer to my mom so she could help me be a babysitter.
Yeah, that's why we moved, to be closer to my wife's family.
Yeah. It's nice, especially when you have kids, to be closer to family. Yeah. So if you need an emergency
having
babysitter.
Having help is definitely important.
Yeah. Oh my God. Even like I work part time and my mom watches him while I'm working, and it's just so nice to have that option. Well, Connor, I provided you with a couple of quotes that I was wondering if you could read aloud for the listeners. So if they'd like to, they can kind of just clip it and then listen to it on repeat whenever they're feeling down.
Cool.
Would you be interested in reading those?
Sure. Give me one second.
Wonderful. And for those listening, I just came up with these like on my own. I was going to ask the readers, and I was just really selfish and decided that I wanted Connor to read things that I want to hear.
That's what you got to go with.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the dishes, darling. Just go grab your book and curl up on the couch, and I'll bring you a tea. You've been such a good... Oh, sorry.
Sorry, no, I was just... It sounded perfect. Continue. I got too excited.
You've been such a good girl today. Let's go spend the day at the bookstore, and I'll buy you anything you want. I just bought a house with a built-in library that has a floor-to-ceiling bookshelf and a rolling ladder. Want me to push you around on it while you sing Beauty and the Beast songs?
Perfect. I can die happy. That's everything I ever wanted my husband to tell me.
Great.
And I'm going to go make him listen to he actually does not. Speaking of like spouses that don't partake in what you do, not in like a bad way, but my husband does not read romance, does not follow me on social media, does not listen to my podcast. He supports me so much, but he does not care about romance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, that's fine. Like, we have plenty in common. Well, actually, we have some things in common. He also doesn't like horror movies, which is like my other big thing that I love. But we have a child in common.
Yes.
That we created.
That's a big project.
Together. If we ever need topic of conversation, we can just talk about our kid. It's fine.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for being on here today, Connor. And can you tell us where we can follow you? Where can we find you? Where can we buy this pillow with you on it?
ConnorCrace.com is kind of if you go there, that has my Audible, link to Audible. It has a link to my books. It has a link to the merchandise store. I have a group on Facebook, Connor's Corner, that I'm on a lot. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, and especially for making time out of what is
also
obviously
can I plug
busy schedule.
The third book in our Tomcat series is coming out in March.
Oh, yes, do it.
Yeah.
And so, what is it? Give us a little spiel. What is it about?
It's called Duke Faking the Play. It's a fake relationship. He's a professional kicker, NFL kicker for the Boston Tomcats.
You know, I have never, not that I read that much sports romance, but I don't think I've ever read a sports romance with a kicker.
Yeah. We just do what we want to do.
I love that. That's funny because actually, so the kicker for the Eagles graduated from my high school.
Oh, yeah?
He did not win, obviously.
Yes.
But that's okay. Yeah. We were still proud.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of kickers this like whole week. And then you say it's about a kicker. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Well, our first one was quarterback. Second one was defensive end. And then, this last one's a kicker.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And when does that come out again?
That would be March 30th.
March 30th. All right. And that would be your fourth book total?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you again so much for being here. For everyone listening, again, you can find Connor at all the places he said. Last name is spelled C-R-A-I-S. If you're listening and typing, it'll be in the Instagram as well. And yeah, obviously, stay slutty, stay smutty, and read whatever the fuck you want.